We're in a series. What is the series? Do we know that? It's behind me, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Church DNA series in the book of... You guys are awesome. It's behind me, isn't it? It's amazing. You guys can read. Literacy is a good thing. So we are in this series in Colossians, and Colossians really, if you want to take someone and you want to, and they say, what does this Christian life look like? What does life in Jesus look like? This is a really good place to take them because it maps out almost everything. Now, if you want to talk to them about Jesus, take them to John. That's an awesome book for Jesus. If you want to look at some of Jesus' life, take them to the Gospels and the things that actually Jesus says. Take them through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Are you starting to see some of these things that are making sense now as we go through? But Colossians is written by Paul. We know who Paul is. Okay, I'll refresh you. Used to be Saul. God shook his world up. He used to kill people that believed in Jesus. He used to go after people and imprison people that would believe in Jesus until Jesus met him. Okay? In a really real way. And that reflects your story, some of you here today. And that will reflect some of your stories here in the future, probably, I'm guessing. So we are in Colossians. Paul wrote it. Are you ready? We're going to cover the first 14, I think, chapters. Not chapters. There's only four. One other question. I want to keep this on the front of your minds. How many of you read it this week? That's impressive. How many of you are not going to read it at all? You liars. I hope you're reading it. It takes not long to go through four chapters of Colossians. Not long at all. But be reading it. Let it soak in. Let it sink in. Let God speak to you in this through these words of Paul. So because you didn't read it, for those of you that didn't read it, we're going to read it. We're going to read it straight through. You ready? I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, and it says this. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. That's where those Catholics got it. And to you, right? He goes on to say, we always pray for you, meaning Paul and the apostles, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told you about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we've heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. There are some themes here that Paul touches on, and I don't know if you caught them. Paul's kind of notorious for this faith love, and hope triad that he uses quite often. Faith, love, and hope. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Because all of this, if you tie those three things together in what he's talking about, brings a kingdom connection. We talked about the kingdom connection either last week or a couple weeks ago. And we talked about how this life in Jesus, sometimes we stop right at the faith part of it, right? We get to this faith portion of it, and we get to this momentous occasion where God becomes real. God becomes really real in our world, and we acknowledge that. We acknowledge it either to ourselves, or we acknowledge it to God, or we acknowledge it to the people around us. And we acknowledge it in baptism, some of us who have been baptized. And then it's like it just stops there, like we're good. We don't have anywhere else to go. Jesus is here. I've got Jesus and everything else is good. And there's nothing that I need to do after that, right? I'm good. I got Jesus. And so we talked about this, I think it was last week, if I'm not mistaken. And then it just stops. Well, Paul elaborates more and he talks about this love as well. Love is a result of this faith, right? Love is a result of this faith that we find in Jesus that turned the world upside down. In Acts, we see faith, this tiny faith that sparked within 3,000 people's hearts that day. That sounds like a logistical nightmare to me as a leader. I've said it before. If our church grew by 3,000 in one day, that would be a nightmare. I wouldn't know what to do. It'd be a good nightmare. Is that a thing? I've seen the Freddy Krueger movies. I know that no nightmares are good, all right? But 3,000 were added to the number that day. Something sparked in their hearts, and I would assume that they are much like us and me, right? I would assume that their faith meant they had full understanding of everything that they were in for. Probably not. I assume that the faith that they had meant they just totally understood Jesus altogether and they were good. And they knew how to serve. They knew how to love. They knew how to give. They just knew everything about Scripture. And they were just like spiritual giants. 3,000 spiritual giants. Actually, I'm guessing it's quite the opposite. It's much like you and I's story. We have this faith, and it starts with this faith, and it just births into this little bud. And we're like, we know this is real. We know this is real. This is tangible. Something has happened in my world that I can't explain and I can't understand outside of God, outside of Jesus. And I know this is real, and I'm going to commit to this thing that I've found. I'm going to commit to this person of Jesus, this God that I'm hearing of, this God that I'm reading about, this God that came down and shook me up much like he did Paul. And then we have this long journey of what does this look like after the faith? What does this look like after that moment? And Paul kind of breaks these down in faith and love and hope in this first chapter, and he breaks it down in other books as well. And then it hits this love piece. Agape love comes next in what Paul was talking about. And for him, love is a transforming act, not a moral principle or an empathetic feeling. Love is faith in motion. Wait, you got to do stuff with this Jesus thing? Are you catching this, though? You got to do stuff with this Jesus thing? It's not just about me? What is love for if you have nothing or no one to give it to? What is the purpose of that love? It'd be void, wouldn't it? Love is for other people? Are you with me? Are you understanding this? Love is for other people. It's not just this flowery word we throw out. I love them. I love Cheerios. I love lamp. Some of you caught that. I love music that we do. I love Adam's teaching because it's so just good and rich and full all the time. I'm a terrible speaker. I've snowed most of you, I'm actually a really terrible speaker. Okay? I love shorts in the summertime. You see, and it's not that kind of this shallow love. It's this, my love for Jesus and my recognition of my love for Jesus, which sparked this faith, which bloomed this little bud, this little blossom in me. I got to do something with it. It's okay to be loved by God, and it's okay to love God back, but outside of that, there's you and me. There's a whole body of believers, not just here either. Understand. Love is faith in motion, so that even divine love is understood by specific acts such as Christ's death. Now, most of us probably are not going to die for someone, right? Some of us will. Some of us are in hazardous positions where we've been either enlisted in the armed forces, or whether we're enlisted in the police department, or whether we're firemen and women that go and fight fires. There are some death-defying things that you guys actually are putting your life on for other people. But rarely will we die for another person. So what does this love look like tangibly? What does this love look like as we think about loving one another? Do you guys have any ideas about that? Helping people move on a Saturday. This move that we did, Craig showed me this beautiful correspondence with a woman who was not the woman that we moved, but a woman who was helping her friend with furniture, and who we went to pick up furniture from yesterday. And I don't know if she's here today or not, but the message read, it says this, I'm not a churchgoer, but you and your crew that showed up, she was talking to Craig, you and your crew that showed up, I could see the Spirit in you, all of you. And I don't know what that's about. This is a woman who is not professing faith, but is recognizing something that she can't understand. But she could see and sense and feel and acknowledge tangibly, but she still can't grasp it. And she's using words like, I see the Spirit in you. You saw this 280-pound fat, sweaty guy lifting your furniture with 100 little pound guy on the other end. He knows. And you saw the Spirit of God in that. In my stench, my unbathed stench, because I didn't shower before I went to this thing, because I knew I was going to be sweating like a sow. You saw the Spirit of God in that. Not only that, but everybody else that was there. She said, everyone. That was a good one, Larry. And all it really took was saying yes to something. All it really took was saying, you know what, here's a need that we need to fill, that we have time, some of us that can go and be a part of this, and we have energy, and it was 3 hours of us to go just do manual labor. And this woman was catching something that was going on. It was beyond just love. It was beyond just, I love what you guys do. It was beyond, oh, you guys love so well. She caught the Spirit in that. That's crazy to me. That something so simple and so mundane and something so nothing in my world really would do that. But you want to know what? That's why we do moves. It's a very purposeful thing. People's lives suck most of the time. And then you throw in moving on top of that. Then they really suck. Then you throw painting, because usually painting and moving are synonymous, on top of that, and their lives are just miserable, all right? So we said, how do we reach into these miserable people's lives? And not every time do we have this, I see the Spirit in you moment. Not every time is it that, but whatever happened yesterday in that simple act was very much that. What else? Helping people move, what else? What have you experienced as you guys have loved, as Jesus has asked you to love? How else do we love? Willing to listen. Yeah. You know how hard it is to just listen to my own family when I get home from a day of work? I'm a super husband. My wife just said, not very. But when I get home from work, from talking to people all day long, from doing moves or wherever my day takes me, wherever God has me, it's hard for me to listen to my family. And I watch what not being a good listener or being willing to listen does when that happens to my children and my wife. Think of that outside of the family now, okay? Think of that with the strangers you meet. Think of that with the people that you encounter on the street or the waitress or waiter or whoever's standing in front of you. Most people don't want a piece of your time. Go to Walmart and do the smile test. I have purposefully looked in people's eyes and smiled, and they're not there. It's either because it's me, or it's because they just don't care. Most people won't want a piece of your time, but when they do, being that person willing to listen and hear, man, that love is huge. What else? Food. I love food. And food loves me. Most of these conversations that we'll have with people, a lot of times, take place over food. A lot of times when I'm listening to people, it takes place over a hamburger or vegetarian food. That's a lie. Okay. It's usually over a hamburger. Food is a huge way. Giving people food, delivering people food. When people are in need or need help, a lot of times you'll see real tangible love come from us. Hey, so-and-so had a baby, or so-and-so had an operation, or so-and-so is at the Denver Children's Hospital. And we try to mobilize the best we can, whether we can deliver meals or get gift cards for people or help them in any way we can. And this stuff sounds so basic. Well, they bought me a gift card for food. No, they love me like Jesus would love me. Jesus talked about clothing the naked, right? Talked about feeding the hungry, giving water to those that are thirsty, visiting people that are in jail. Well, they probably deserve to be in jail. That doesn't matter. You go find them and you visit them and love them, right? Jesus listed very tangible ways in which we love, and that's what this faith is coupled with. And this love is not just for us to feel good about ourselves. It's for us to give away. Because if we didn't have anybody to give away to, their love would be pointless. What else? Three things, is that all we have? That's a good sermon.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Define that. Becoming selfless and making love about everybody else instead of yourself. Who was it that said, it's easy to love those that love you? Oh yeah, Jesus, I think. But what about those that are hard to love? Does that require sacrifice? So this faith that starts small and is left alone, just stopping there is going to get you nowhere. But it moves into this love piece, and it moves into this piece of teaching us this art of sacrifice. I think that's truly at the heart of it, because sacrifice is coupled with that obedience. God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to mess with these people because they're messy. I don't want to give any of my time to hear their story because it's terrifying. And I'm not a counselor. I don't know how to handle this. God, I don't want to give of my time to go move people because I hate people. Right? I'm an introvert. I don't like doing any of that kind of stuff. Not that introverts hate people. I know you're going to tell me later, you don't understand introverts at all. Stop mischaracterizing them. I'm an introvert. It's hard for me to do that and put myself in those situations. Nailed it. Good. But then we move on to this hope piece. This hope, and hope can be a little bit dangerous and a little bit misleading, because hope, has anybody ever muttered the phrase, "Come, Lord Jesus"? This life sucks. Come, Lord Jesus. This person is driving me up a wall. Come, Lord Jesus. Right? This future hope of heaven, or this future hope of God's going to do everything for us. And it kind of trickles down. And so we don't have to do much of anything because God's already got this. Heaven's already mapped out. Heaven's already figured out. And so if I just hope in that, come Lord Jesus, I'm good. You may have heard of it as like fire insurance, or just kind of saving yourself from hell mentality. Good stuff. But Jesus, when he taught us to pray, there was this phrase in there that said, "Your kingdom come." He's talking to his Father in heaven. He's talking to God. "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What that requires is you and I's participation in this, yeah? This future hope of heaven, I get it, is beautiful. It's super tasty. And a lot of times I've had to say things, you know what, life won't make sense this side of heaven. On this side of things, we're not going to have full knowledge of everything. We're not going to understand fully how our actions affect people. We're not going to understand how that person that we can't stand made it to heaven with us. Let that blow your mind. We're not going to understand all of these things this side of heaven. But what we can understand is what Jesus told us to do, and how to act, and how to be, and how to love, and how to be in right being with him through faith and through love and through hope. So if you're a person today that's just hoping for heaven, again, good stuff, but sitting dormant with no one to love, with no love to give anybody else, with nothing tangible in your world that's reflecting Jesus, I hate to say it, but I think you're doing it wrong. I was that person. I used to be that person. Again, as you've heard my story, I stopped at a certain point and I said, okay, well, Jesus loves me, that's great, and I love Jesus, and that's fine. And I'll be really judgmental until heaven. I'll be a person that has a lot of hills to die on theologically, even though my theology is incredibly weak. Am I hitting home with anybody? I'll be a person that has a lot to say about Scripture but doesn't read it. Has no idea what's in it, but man, can I talk about it. Am I hitting home yet? I'll be a person that said yes to Jesus but no to love. And at that point, I think Jesus is lost in the mix, in your world. And all of this ties into this kingdom connection. How we view God, how we view each other, how we view just the kingdom in general, because Paul touches on this isn't just for them. You've heard about this from Epaphras. You've heard about this from this guy who caught Jesus. Paul was never at this church that we can tell. He never visited this church physically. He heard about this through a brother who had connections with Paul. Paul's in prison when he was writing these letters. And Paul's hearing of this, and he's reminding them and expanding their worldview, saying, look, this is the same message these other people have heard that you're sharing in now. This isn't just you. This is everybody. The gospel is not just for a certain people group. Race. Gender. It's for everybody. And it's going to grow and continue to grow in that way, but it's only going to grow through faith. Your faith, and putting your money where your mouth is with your love and your sacrifice, and allowing God to change your world and change your heart and change you from the inside out, and from how you hope and how you talk about this hope that you have in Jesus through other people. Not this far off concept, but the hope you have for them now, today. Active listening. When you listen to people, you can call out hope in their world. I find most people aren't far off from heaven. I find most people aren't far off from this kingdom connection. And we have the one thing that they're longing for most to make sense in their world, in their minds. They might not understand it. I know I didn't at the time. I know a lot of people that I've talked to, they don't understand what they're searching for, but it's God at the end of it. They're searching for their creator, their creation. The creation is groaning for their creator to know them, to long for them, to love them. And we offer that together. So as we find ourselves connected within the kingdom together, and as we find ourselves loving as not just the body of Whitewater, but all these other churches in town that are doing the same thing as us, that are not competition. Can I tell you that? They're not competition. Some of you have come from those other churches and you've been burned by them, and that's why you're here, because you hate them now. Or the pastor did you wrong somehow. Or someone said something that you didn't agree with, so you turned tail and you ran. And you ran to some weird, obscure church in a theater here. Because there's safety there. Okay? I can sit here and be anonymous and be unknown. That's not what Scripture says. That's not what Kingdom Connection says. I can hate on them because I have right to. I almost cursed again. No, that's not what Scripture says. It's not who Scripture says you are. That's not how Scripture says you love. That's not how Scripture says you be in right being. You're connected to them as you're connected to us, as you're connected to these people, these strangers sitting around you, who how dare they sat in your row today, and how dare they took up the extra seat. They didn't have to. They didn't have to sit that close. Look at all these seats. They could have just sat two seats away, but no, they sat right next to you. How dare they? It's that kingdom connection. Are you living it? Are you hearing it? Are you understanding it? I want to challenge you with that. Somewhere, something I've said today has sunk in. Maybe. That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Whether it's the faith piece, the love piece, the hope piece, somewhere along the line, God's nudging you and saying, hey, that's you. What are you doing with that right now? Can I tell you a story? It's easy to run from things like that. Yeah. I had a great encounter with God a few weeks ago. And instead of doing what he asked me to do, I pulled a Jonah. Does anybody know the story of Jonah? Jonah's this dude that was a prophet of God. And Jonah heard from God, and God said, I need you to go speak to this people group and deliver this message. And he said, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. So Jonah went the opposite direction. Instead of listening to what God had told him to do. Long story short, Jonah's life ends up miserable because God caught up with him. God's that beautiful friend on the phone that's calling you and being like, hey, man, what's up? You seem kind of down. I don't want to talk about it. I want you to talk about it with me. And then they'll see you out and about, and they're still bringing it up, and you're like, shut up. I told you I don't want to talk about this, right? That's what God was doing with Jonah, only through really miraculous circumstances and crazy things happening and him being swallowed by this massive fish. At that point, I think God would have my attention. But it's easy to take these nudges. It's easy to hear things like kingdom connection and these things and say, I'm not there. I don't want to do any of that, and I'm not going to do that. And God says, yeah, you are. Because without that, you're not moving any further. You're not going anywhere. Let's work on this. Let's move in this. And so that's what I want you to do. What are you hearing this morning? You don't have to shout it back to me. You need to be talking with God about that. Whether it's this faith piece, what do I do with this faith? If you don't know Jesus right now and this faith thing is just welled up inside of you and exploding right now, you know what? The next step is saying yes to Jesus. It's really that simple. God, I don't understand you. I know you're real because I can't explain what's going on in my world right now. But for some reason, I know that this is truth and I need to live my life for you. It's that simple. And then in Acts, it talks about baptism. It talks about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the Holy Spirit just coming on you. It comes through baptism of water. It comes through getting in a horse tank that we have here. That could be your next step. Some of you just drudge through this baptism piece. And I get it, you know. I accepted Jesus a while ago. I'm not getting in a tank of water in a horse tank. That's dumb. It seems silly, doesn't it? When we went to Murdoch's to go buy it, they're like, what's this for? It's a baptisms. You would think in Wyoming they would have heard of this before. Oh, yeah, well, here's our baptism model. It's really dolled up with like some purple fabric or something real, you know, like royalty. Maybe a cross spray painted on the side. I don't know. Maybe baptism's your next play. Maybe baptism's your next move. Maybe some of you have just been dragging your feet on it. And I get it. It's weird. But Jesus did it. Jesus is weird. All right? Jesus talked about us doing it. Scripture talks about us doing it. Maybe that's your next move. Maybe that's your next play. Maybe some of you have had that, and you're just stuck, and you can't move forward in this love piece because you're so selfish with your time and your energy and your money and your life that you love yourself more than you love anybody else. You're looking for a place to serve, we'll plug you in. You're looking for a place to invest your time where it counts and with people where it counts. We'll plug you in. Maybe your hope in the future is too great. Maybe your hope in heaven, it sounds weird to say, is too great. And your reality gets lost in the here and now of how you do things and how you live in kingdom life with each other. With other brothers and sisters that we have in Laramie in the world. Maybe you need to put that in check. Maybe you need to say, you know what, man, Jesus, you said to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anytime I pray that passage, I say, your kingdom come, your will be done in me, through me, here on earth as it is in heaven. And it's the through me piece that changes worlds, that changes lives. People are counting on that from you. The Holy Spirit is counting on that from you. The Holy Spirit is counting on indwelling in you so it can live through you so other people know who Jesus is. It's a little bit of a daunting task that we are hope for humanity as we allow the Spirit to live in us. So God, sink these things in our hearts, sink these things in our minds, and let us not turn tail and run. Let us not Jonah these things. Let us not, it's so easy to do. I get it. I did it a few weeks ago. Let us not do that. Let us embrace these things that you're calling us to. Let us embrace this kingdom connection with each other, with you. Let us embrace this kingdom connection with our brothers and sisters that we don't have here this morning on a Sunday morning that are out in other churches and out in this community. Let us embrace this kingdom connection where we are able to grow our faith, live lives of love and hope. God, not just of future things, but things here and now. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen.